I'm coming strong, and I am a player. And that's why this show is called Trash Opinion. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to Trash Opinions. We are going on to Pearl Islands, which is one of my favorite seasons. It's jammed packed full of absolutely iconic moments. Some of the best characters to ever grace Survivor of all time, honestly. And it's one of the rare occasions where the pre-merge is just as good as the post-merge, and they're both great. If you have not checked out my previous videos, they will be linked in the description. Without further ado, let's get into the greatness that is a Pearl Island.
You made me feel very uncomfortable in this situation.
But you're not listening. He told me. I didn't create it. He told me, so I came directly to you. I didn't want to make a judgment call. I wanted to ask you.
If you don't trust me, and if you think I'm out to get people, why would you want to have an alliance?
I want to trust you. That's why I'm asking you. As far as Nicole, I think it is enemy status. It's gotten to that point. I can't trust her. So yeah, she's definitely an enemy. She came right off the bat trying to take me down. For what purposes? For what?
Nicole Delba. Nicole is just another in a line of memorable first boots of the pre-All-Stars era. For Nicole, though, I mostly just felt bad for her. In a way, it was kind of a blessing she was voted off after only 3 days, because I couldn't imagine her lasting long with only that tiny little cocktail dress. She started a bunch of shit with Tawana, had a case of big move-itis, and it's what led to her boot. It was a fun downfall.
Are you the ambassador of the Morgan tribe?
I'm the goober of the Morgan tribe.
Why do you say that? I'm Sandra.
I'm right.
Good job today.
You guys doing okay? Ryan Shoulders. Skinny Ryan is kind of a rootable figure. Like, he has his fans, and I kind of get why. He is not really much of a social player, but he does have the tangibles to become someone you want to root for. I mean, Ryan just being a fellow wage slave alone makes me really want to pull for the guy. Sadly, though, he didn't offer a lot of memorable moments. He was mostly just kind of there. His Die Jerks buff in the Outcast twist is one of the more memorable Survivor articles of clothing in the entire series.
Skinny Ryan, how big a factor was that for you, Ryan? You've got Die Jerks on yeah. your head.
Oh, it was a huge, huge motivation because I thought I was never let into the tribe. You know, that feeling of revenge, unbelievable.
But him himself, I just think, is kind of a dud. I'm gonna put him at the top of meh. Sorry to all the Skinny Ryan fans out there.
I don't really have too many problems with even discussing things. Actually, I don't really have a problem at all.
Hey, who's the least likely for them to think they eat?
If someone has to go twice, Michelle seems pretty darn prepared. Just have her act like it's the worst thing in the world versus Trish, so they pick her instead of Trish.
So my plan for the challenge is to play it up and act like I really hate it and just, you know, try to be all girly girl about it.
One Jeff special coming up.
All right, Michelle.
3, 2, 1,
go.
Go,
girl, go, girl, go.
Yeah, Rhino.
Yeah, Rhino.
Let's go, Michelle.
Michelle having no problem.
Yeah, girl.
Drink it,
baby.
Kick my ass. That'll work.
Good job,
right now.
Good job.
Nicely done.
Michelle Tizzaro. Michelle, you had one job. All Michelle had to do was pretend to be grossed out. But nope, she couldn't help but flex by downing that entire disgusting Survivor milkshake. Other than that hilarious immunity challenge whoopsie and Rupert talking to her about the vote as she's puking, she really didn't do a damn thing. She's going in meh.
Trisha thought the lady was laughing and giggling with her or whatever, but the lady actually, I think, you know, liked her in a sexual way.
Check it out. Oh,
there's Trisha hugging the lady, laughing and giggling like it's all good, and I'm like, yo, we need to go.
Trish Dunn. Ah, Trish, the almost victim of sex trafficking. Other than that amazing opening episode, she is not memorable in the slightest. She caught a bad case of big move-itis from Nicole and told the wrong person about her plan, and it caused her to be voted out. We just saw the same result happen with Nicole, so it's not enough to put her in fun downfall since we just saw it. It's not even that memorable of a moment, to be honest. She's going in meh.
He's in argument with you.
Four out of five.
Look at you, you're about
said.
To cry again over.
Over. Ass,
excuse me?
You're an ass.
You want to sit here and call me an ass? We're going to go take care of this because you are not sitting here and calling me an ass anymore, all right? You're. All right? Enough. All right?
Dude, get out of my face.
No, don't even tell me to get out of your face.
You know what your problem is, John?
You're a little baby.
I'm not hiding my ending.
You're a man
doesn't fight someone. The Neanderthal does. There's a difference.
We got about 20 minutes.
Exactly. We have enough time to make popcorn, you.
Call me again, John.
Swear to God.
You threaten me with physical violence one more time, man. I want you to, dude, because I want to see you walk away.
Don't cry like a baby.
They're always fighting. I'm glad it's not me. Let them duke it out. You know, let them kill each other, vote each other off. As long as it ain't Sandra, I'm happy.
Sean Cohen. It's funny because you forget how good of a character Sean is. Sean's downfall is absolutely hilarious. You would think a young, good-looking, athletic guy would be popular among his tribe mates, but he gets way too cocky in his imaginary leadership position. That is up until the rest of Drake gets rid of the Beavis to his butthead, Burton. And you would think he would realize he's on the chopping block and get his act together too, but instead he's acting like he owns the place, ordering people around until Fairplay explodes on him in a hilarious way, and Sandra's just like, yeah, I'm glad Sean got put in his place.
I just don't think it's going to make much of a difference to raise it this much. Because that bamboo is like a 2 inches high, not even.
Sean kept looking for excuses why not to help, and John's like, had it up to here with him.
You're making a 10 times more work.
No, we're not. It's 10 times more work to talk about it for an hour. I'll have all these out by the time everyone's done just looking at it. Damn it, dude. You do more not to do work than doing work.
What are you talking about, John? Relax. We're working here.
No, you're
not. On a time basis?
I could give a... Dude, don't tell me to... Just do it now. We'll relax.
No, until you...
Ridiculous, dude. I just asked you to just calm down. Shut up. How about that one? Shut up. Just shut up, all right? Come on. Work again. Just shut up. Oh, fuck. Wait, just read it. Do it. Walk away. I will. Good. Ridiculous. No, what? Ridiculous is not doing anything, God. Ridiculous.
You see us here, John? Relax, okay?
I'm glad John put him in his place. And after that, what happened? Sean practically put the whole shelter together. Maybe Sean should get a clue that he's not anybody's buddy here. That he needs to get whatever has to happen done. He needs to make sure we win the challenge. Or he's going home.
He pissed off the power players on his tribe. And that, plus the outcast twist keeping him out of the merge, in which he would definitely defect over to Morgan. His demise was absolutely wonderful. Fun downfall.
You. You're lying. Let's think about it. The girl's trying to be crap, so she ain't as dumb as dork as she's trying to play off. Her big bird type personality she's trying to portray on us is ridiculous. It's a farce. It's a phony.
Austin Taylor. Austin's a fantastic character. I wish he didn't quit, but considering the circumstances of his health, his quit was very much valid. But being this is old school Survivor, he's given this incredibly mean and cold treatment as he exits.
Austin, per your wishes, go home. All due respect to Austin, people work too damn hard to get in this game and fight to stay alive. He wants to lay his torch down, so it shall be. Who knows? Maybe this is the best thing to happen to the Morgan tribe.
And then they proceed to edit him in a way to make him look like a jackass the entire season. However, even with the edit not on his side, I still think Austin is hilarious and an amazing character. I'm not sure what's funnier, him sharpening the machete because he's afraid of a damn pelican, or how angry Savage got in a confessional about it.
Austin's gonna be highly upset. Do you wanna come in? Come on. I said, don't do that.
Hey, Pete.
Be nice. Just see what he does. He's not going to get up here.
Why would you want this thing in here? I'm being dead serious. I'm like, I will keep the machete and chop this thing's head right the fuck. I'm not playing around.
I don't like animals. I've been bit by a couple animals, and the next animal that bites me will die.
I have no problem chopping that thing's head straight off.
Just go sit down and stop with your blade. You don't need to do that.
Come on, buddy.
Rhino's just trying to help out a poor old pelican, and OT's just being an ass. There's no other way to look at it. He's just being an ass, sharpening a machete. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. In fact, I was embarrassed by that.
Sit down, though. I don't need you to irritate me right now.
Austin's selling his clothes in the premiere episode without realizing how am I going to keep myself warm at night is also hilarious, and gee, I wonder why he got sick.
We only had a limited amount of money, so I made an impulsive decision to sell my clothes to benefit my tribe.
The dude is just such a fascinating character. He's there, he's well-liked and charismatic, and then he just quits. Nobody else of his stature goes, nah, I'm good, in the middle of a game. I cannot think of an instance where something like that happens ever again. He is not all kosher, though. Him telling the young women that they should show their boobs for free stuff in the village is, not so great.
Let me out, let me talk. Can I talk to you two real quick? Just a little strategy. Come here.
I'm listening to.
Okay, come on. This is going to be a little action to talk to. But you know, old men are real horny. So maybe sometimes if you don't have money, rash your boobs, or something like that. I don't mean to be rude, but that could help.
Austin, because you know, girls, we don't necessarily have to spend our money. With these old guys, they're really horny, so you can just show them your boobs. He didn't even know our names really yet, or us at all. That was his first, you know, introduction to it. So I was just like, this guy's a jerk.
However, even with the negativity, he still ends up the best character of the pre-merge. He's totally going in hilarious.
If his shorts go down, Ryan and I told him that we're a team, we're a family, and we won't make him embarrassed by being nude, so we'll do the same.
Ryan and Austin talking strategy. What are you guys doing?
They better hope they don't lose their winnies out here.
Great. Now Andrew's naked.
It's going to be a great race.
Andrew Savage. Savage is kind of a dick. He's just really dismissive and just seems irritated all the time. Him raging about Lil being a scoutmaster who should know how to tie knots is hilarious.
No, they just took it. I had the fisherman knot on there and it was strong.
I'm shocked, actually. I'm a deer in headlights because she's a Boy Scout troopmaster and she knows many different knots, including the fisherman's knot. And the only way you lose a hook like that is two ways. Either the line breaks, which it didn't, or your knot wasn't secure, which it wasn't.
He's immediately thrust into this leadership role on Morgan and was such a dick to Lil and Skinny Ryan on their way out. I do find it funny that they didn't show Savage's reply to Lil's, "Remember how I asked you to tell me if I was going?" in the show, because it just shows how nuts Lil was.
I have not totally decided yet. And that's all I can say. I have not totally decided yet.
Let me know before.
I'll jump off the horse.
Remember I asked you to let me know before? And you didn't? I don't know. I have to decide before I get there, no.
Because, yeah, Savage did tell her. You even see it in the show. He straight up asks her how she would feel if she was the boot, which is, to me, telling her. His grumpy attitude and status as the most screwed over player in this era of Survivor makes him a legend, though. I would definitely put him in the entertaining.
Hey, hey, hey. You don't need to be doing that. Oh, you want to challenge me? Come on. Trying to get our flag. Move it. Hey, buddy. You're out of here.
So there's a pelican that just came by camp, and Rhino has a soft spot for animals, which is great. So Rhino starts petting it, making it feel good, and he's just trying to help it out.
So it's pretty funny.
You give her a name yet? His name's Pelican Pete. He's our mascot for a little while.
Ryan Rhino Opry. or Oprah. Rhino telling Austin if his shorts fell off, he'll take his clothes off as well as a show of solidarity, and then actually doing it along with Savage is hilarious and one of the funniest moments of that opening episode. I think Rhino is great despite being a relatively low-key character. The scene with Pelican Pete is one of my favorite in the entire season, and it's so endearing how Rhino reacts to the Pelican in the same way I would. I would just be like, hey, what's up, buddy, too. But at the end of the day, he was just mostly kind of there. I still love the Pelican Pete thing, and he's just as screwed over as Savage, but his affinity for animals alone qualifies him for mildly entertaining. I like Rhino. Rupert Bonham. Rupert is an absolute lunatic. Who the hell voted for me?
Who the hell voted for me? Who the hell voted for me? John?
Yeah.
Who the hell voted for me?
I did.
What the f*** was that tonight?
I was down for Drake, dude. I would made a decision.
Damn it, look at me!
I'm looking at
what
you.
What the f*** was that tonight?
I made a decision based on...
You're starting this now!
Damn it. I was ready to kill John. Literally. Grab that little scrawny ass by the neck and pop his head off him like a chicken.
Like a goddamn gorilla. I don't love Rupert as much as some people. I feel like it's 50-50. But I like Rupert 1.0 the best.
Wait, this is the outside. This stinks of rot and death. We eat so much rot and death here. Eating scum. The bastard's going to be taken away with the whales. Last damn thing I give to Burton. Except the vote. I might give him a few votes. Rot and death.
He's just pure mountain man at this point, and he's so entitled and views the entire season as his adventure. My spear, my fishing line.
He's throwing him into the rocks, and now remember, this is in our little inlet where it's a bathtub. He couldn't find the spearhead. He gives up. That's why I wanted, that's why I was the only...
I kept tightening it, too.
I wanted to be the only one that did that. He lost my bag and he killed my spear.
And I didn't do it on purpose.
I know, I know.
I've been
can I be
forever.
Mad?
Yes, you can be mad, but do you want to come help me find it?
That is going
to... I know.
That right there is going to...
He has such a moral superiority about himself. I love it. It's hilarious. He blows up on his tribe and is honestly a dick most of the time, but it's framed as positive for some reason. It's ridiculous. They should have never milked Rupert as much as they did, but I understand why they did it. He was a massive character on the season, and for a while, he was the main character of the season.
It feels great to be able to catch food. But I knew that one fish just wasn't going to be enough. So I took the spear. So I started catching fish.
I got lunch!
Yeah! After I got that, I thought, okay, some more, some more.
Is that a catfish?
I was thrilled. I'd never seen a saltwater catfish. I didn't know they made such an animal.
You just got another one?
Uh-huh. I got to the point where I thought I was going to get eight of them. Everybody was going to get their own fish. I didn't get eight, but we got us fish.
You know what?
That's like, the best one you caught right there.
Any meat?
That one is. No, the other one.
This guy, I know if I could have caught more of these.
No, not that one. The other one. That one.
That one's a good one.
He's just such a goddamn lunatic throughout his entire run, and it's weird looking at him as the good guy, which is what the show clearly wants you to think.
I am so happy.
I feel better.
I stopped yelling and screaming at him and cussing at him and calling him bad names.
Do they know we found it?
I think they heard you yelling there.
When he's acting like such an entitled man-child all the time, even his closing words, "so much for my dreams," comes off as so entitled and childish. Rupert really wants to be an entertaining, but he for sure goes into delightfully crazy.
unlike the other tribe that was screaming at people.
Give me my money back. Money.
We need some money.
I need my money back. I don't want it.
Okay, where's
okay. If y'all gonna steal from me, y'all gonna steal from y'all. Give us the cat out.
Yeah, this is the one we paid for. We gave them. No.
Then don't do this.
No.
We're walking out with the merchandise we paid for. Then another person says, no, you didn't pay for it. Wait, what?
Tijuana Bradley. T was a character I didn't remember much from before the rewatch, but I also forgot how great she was. She ends up in the same boat as Rhino as a character I like, but is also just kind of there. Her arguing with the shopkeeper lady is hilarious, though. And going off on Nicole was highly entertaining and humorous. Her loved one's visit is underrated in how bizarre it is. Jeff introduces him as your high school sweetheart, but still your good friend. So what? He's an ex? Your loved one visit is an ex-boyfriend? That's awkward.
T, here's your high school sweetheart and still great friend, William. Get on out here, William!
She gets pushed aside as the season progresses until getting booted on her birthday. But I feel like she's fun enough to land in mildly entertaining. I guess. I honestly have no idea where to put T.
Really cool in your tribe, pretty much, or you got some?
Yeah, it's been getting along.
So who's the leader? Did you designate a...
Everybody just kicks back. It's just the strangest thing.
It was just really hard because I was just put so on the spot. I felt so under pressure. Everybody was trying to hammer me with questions, and I was just trying to think of the right thing to say.
The first immunity challenge you lose, who do you think's gone in your tribe?
I have no idea. Well, that's the funny part. I really don't.
I mean, it doesn't matter if we know. We're not in your tribe.
I know. I don't know, you guys.
Krista Hasty. Rob Sesternino and Mike Bloom's Krista impression lives rent-free in my head, and it has wholeheartedly changed how I look at Krista as a character.
I love Krista so much. She is, like, a freaking...
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Sean is the biggest puss I've ever seen. Like, Krista's one of my favorite voices to do, because it's like a congested Muppet.
I had her in Mad before the rewatch, because I didn't remember who she was, but Krista is actually amazing. I love her so much, she's hilarious, and I love the confessional of her calling Sean a puss. It cracks me up every time.
That is our best meat source.
Well, can we just make it happen, not for Sean to go fishing with the spear? No, I mean, I don't know how to go spear fishing. If
you would try, you know, like everyone else, then, you know, it's a chance you're going to lose something. I mean, you know, it's try or not try.
Sean is the biggest puss I have ever met in my entire life.
I love her making a skirt for Rupert with her dress since his jeans were too heavy, and it's just such a great bonding moment between the two. I also feel bad she gets blamed for Sandra dumping the bucket of fish.
She was mad that her good friend Rupert was gone.
You're the only one that could have done it. That's the point.
I didn't do it.
You're lying, and you have a reason to lie.
I did have about 30 seconds where I put down my canteen in the corner of my bed, and people think during that time I threw out the fish. I feel horrible for being blamed and not having any way to prove that I didn't do it.
Krista dips off for a bit in the pre-merge. She has zero confessionals in 3 episodes straight, so I wouldn't call her an all-time great one-time player, but I do feel like she's funny enough and makes enough gold from her little amount of confessionals to put her in hilarious. It may be a controversially high placement.
Yeah, I'm part of the Drake tribe, again, but I can't forget the fact that they did vote me off. So I don't know if they're just kissing my ass or if they really are happy to see me. Because in the end, it's a game about deceit.
Burton Rabbits. The first person to ever get voted off twice. Burton's a fun character. Him yelling, quit doing that, Lil, after Lil kisses him on the lips is absolutely hilarious.
Yes! Burton and Lil, win reward!
Oh my God.
Quit doing that, Lil!
Come on, man.
Shambo was taking notes. Burton makes the Outcast twist a little less awful. At least they did the twist on a season where there are enough interesting people booted pre-merge. I actually think he's a super underrated player as well. I think he had a lot of win equity with that jury. However, him picking fair play for the reward and leaving Sandra alone with Lil and Dara to form a 3 against 2 was his undoing, and sadly he gets booted off, but he's still landing and entertaining for sure.
Hey, actually, we might eat some funky stuff, so if you want to kiss before, that's cool.
I don't think I'll pass.
All right. What are the odds if you didn't have a boyfriend? What chance would he have?
Nothing. No fans.
No fans, but none.
To you, baby.
Dara Johnson. Dara is really bland. It's funny she's a mortician because her performance was pretty deadpan. She has a couple moments here and there. Like, I must admit, her breaking open the challenge where you have to fill a tube full of water to get a floating key to rise up, and her just putting her entire tiny wrist in there to reach the key without filling it with water was pretty badass. But as somebody who makes it all the way to the Final Four, there's not a lot you can say about her other than that she aligned with Fair Play at the Merge, and her boyfriend seems to have known her only for a day.
First question. What is your survivor's nickname? Dara, Nub Nut. Bradley, what'd you put? DJ, no match. What is their favorite home-cooked meal? Meat and potatoes. Bradley, no match. If your survivor could do anything in the world for a living, what would that dream job be? Dara, modeling. Bradley.
I got it wrong.
A nurse.
Gosh.
No match.
We're gonna have to talk when we get home.
Which was hilarious. But overall, she's pretty meh.
John, let me ask you a question. What is this about?
That's Johnny Fairplay right there. That's the F, that's the Y, I'm all in between. Johnny Fairplay. I play fair. No cheating.
Johnny Fairplay Dalton. Fuck you is one of the best voting confessionals ever. This Dustin Diamond ass motherfucker. I am a huge pro wrestling fan, so I appreciated every single one of his wrestling references. We even have a Rhino reference, nice. Fairplay is a player I wish didn't burn his bridge with Survivor because I would kill to have him on a Survivor Legends season. Could you imagine if he was on Heroes vs. Villains? This season is filled with so much profanity, and Fair Play is at the helm of most of it.
Out of control.
F*** you, man! F*** you!
I really can't stand him. He talks too much crap all night long, cursing. He thinks it's cute, but it isn't. It gets old. It's already old.
Girl in Vegas. Pass the bottle before you drop it.
And it's so sick. It was f***ing
Granted, Sandra, Sean, and Rupert help a lot too, but I've never seen a guy get into so many explosive fights but still maintain a great relationship with his tribe. I don't know how much win equity he actually had. I mean, it was old school Survivor after all. I don't know how much respect that cunning and manipulative gameplay would carry, but he was for sure the strategical mastermind behind every vote. He played an improved version of the Rob Cesternino game a season right after him, which is incredibly impressive. I love how he shows up to tribal council drunk, and I love how mad Jep Probst gets at him for it.
John, give me the state of affairs for this tribe.
Awesome, 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 awesome. Happy tribe. That's it. Good tribe. Couldn't be happier.
Are you loaded?
Yeah.
And then there's the greatest scene in all of Survivor history, the dead grandma lie. It catapulted him into biggest Survivor villain ever.
Here's your buddy Dan. I can't wait to meet this guy.
Oh, God.
Oh, dude, that was great.
Huh?
That was great.
She died, dude.
John, you went from really happy to really sad.
It was either going to be my buddy or my grandmother coming, and my grandmother's not here for a reason.
What happened?
She's not around. So.
Sorry for that news. I'm sure everybody here is sorry.
I don't know. I can hope to win this and get some more information.
Sandra, first move.
Fair play's buddy.
Dan, take one step back.
I mean, I have about a million questions I'd like to know about my grandmother, but obviously some people don't give a f- so.
Santa's it's not all about you all the time.
Right.
His grandmother just died.
John's grandmother just passed away. We all kind of agreed that, hey, let's let John take this. Our mothers, our husbands, wives, boyfriends, whatever, will be there when we get home.
That was a brilliant performance, sir. Like that? Yeah, thank you. Did you like mine? I couldn't cry. I tried. I brought on a couple tears for you. It was sweat.
My grandmother's sitting home watching Jerry Springer right now.
John called me before he left and was like, I've got to have any sort of leverage I possibly can. He said, outsmart and outthink. He's got to outplay everybody. And he's like, if you come down here, tell me my grandma died.
The fake dead grandmother could easily go down as the dirtiest thing ever to be done in this game.
Your grandma's gonna hate you. My grandma's gonna love it.
Him laughing at his own bad jokes the entire time didn't help either.
Krista made me swear on my grandmother's grave that I would carry Krista and Sandra to the Final Four. And I believe I used the phrase before, promises are like wicker furniture and fat women, easily broken by Johnny Fairplay.
Thunder D has no acting chops whatsoever. I mean, She Died Dude is such an unintentionally hilarious line, but the fact that Fairplay sold the fuck out of that shit while wearing freaking boxer shorts was absolutely brilliant. The line, my grandma's probably at home right now watching Jerry Springer, is absolutely iconic. And then there's that final immunity challenge. That's not a deal, Will. Amazing. Funniest final immunity challenge ever. He's dethroning Rob C. at the top of favorite.
Cheers. Are you happy?
I'm happy.
Oh, you should be. Your final three.
Lillian Morris. Is there such a thing as resting pout face? Because Lil for sure has it. Say what you want about the Outcast twist, and as terrible as it was, it did make the season a lot better. If the merge happens at Final 10, Sean defects to Morgan, and we probably get a boring Savage win instead of the amazing Sandra win. I also love the theory that she wasn't as much voted into the game as she was voted out of the rest of the Outcast's vacation. Even though it doesn't make any sense votes-wise, I will say she is way more strategic than people give her credit for. She was essentially the first power goat of Survivor. She is the only one that votes correctly on every single vote of that merge. Character-wise, her pouty, blubbering mess face is so iconic, and it's just so funny that Lil will cry at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, I'm such a bitch.
Thank God.
Don't say that.
I'm sorry.
Her losing it while reading her letters from home is so over the top and great.
Hey, Mom. Everything is fine here at home. I think about you every day and pray for your safe, happy return. Win or lose, I love you. Someone has to win and someone has to lose. I believe in letting someone else lose. That's Pete Rhodes. This is my son. Oh, my God.
Lil went into such theatrics over her letter that it pretty much overshadowed anyone else's letter.
Oh.
That's been her MO from the beginning. Of course, Lil breaks down into hysterics, and I hope to use that against her.
And her asking Jeff Probst if he would be willing to join the Boy Scouts is absolutely adorable and hilarious.
You want to join a Boy Scout troop?
Someday.
She just has so many great moments throughout.
You're drunk, Lil.
I've had 3/4 of a beer.
I think you're drunk.
Her absolute delusion throughout the game and heel turn late game is so delightful to watch. Her saying, I do aerobics, and these are called squats at Fairplay as he's just trying to make a deal with her is absolutely amazing and quotable.
Lily, you want to make a deal right now?
No, sir.
You're crazy.
My daughter wants to be a doctor.
Do you understand how...
John, don't talk to me.
Do you understand how the deals work, Lil?
Shut up.
Lil, if you give me immunity, I will take you to the final two. That's what a deal is.
You know what? I do aerobics.
Okay.
My knees are great.
Okay.
My ankles are great.
Okay.
These are called squats.
Okay.
And aerobics.
Ready for a deal?
I'm not going to deal with
it. I'll give you immunity. You take me to the final.
I'm not going to promise anything.
Well, then that's not a deal.
I'm not going to deal then.
John, how confident are you right now about your chances of winning this?
No, extremely.
And then at Final Tribal Council, how much she harps on regretting wearing her Scoutmaster uniform when nobody else gave a shit.
Lil, last chance to convince the jury to give you $1 million.
If I had this to do all over again, the Boy Scout uniform would have been at home. It's easy target for anybody to say, Boy Scouts, dignity, honor, survivor, liar, cheater, whatever. Two things don't come together. And whatever you guys say about my honor, my integrity, it's bull. It's that way here. It's not that way home.
It's absolutely wild. Lil is absolutely out of her goddamn mind. She is going squarely and delightfully crazy. I love her.
Swing from the boat when we jumped off the boat and we went to the shore. If you beat me so bad and I just used my arms, how bad did you beat me?
You know what? I can get loud too. What the I can get loud too.
I don't want to argue with you. That's what I'm from you.
I walked away because she could argue all day long. That's because she's foolish.
I can have a bigger mouth.
Good. Have a last word. That's all you want.
So then be quiet so then I can finish it.
Screw John, because he's an ass. Everything that comes out of his mouth is just ridiculous.
Her days are numbered. We have bigger threats to get rid of first, but she's not one of the final four. So, and I got a mill that says she won't be the final one.
Sandra Diaz-Twine. Sandra, the queen. In my opinion, the first amazing character to win. Her explosive arguments with Fairplay are iconic. I find it so ironic that it was all about Sandra not wanting to sit out of a challenge when the sit-out bench is now called the Sandra bench just based on how much time Sandra sits out in a challenge. It's hilarious. From the very start of the season, Sandra is a straight-up G. Her managing to get an entire-ass family barbecue spread in a village is insane.
We ran around the corner and there was this lady having, they were dancing. She was having a barbecue. And I said, you know, I'll give you this gold chain for everything you have here. And she looked at my chain, she was like, yeah. I put the chain around her neck and she was like, what do you want? I said, I want all your chicken. I want your aluminum foil. I want your ketchup, your hot sauce, the barbecue sauce. She had a cutting board, a knife, everything. The only thing we didn't take was the grill.
It really sets the precedent of how good Sandra is at talking people into things. I mean, starting off a Survivor with a whole tray of cooked chicken is wild. And her talking about hoping Morgan's got their dingling stuck on thorns during the challenge was hilarious.
Wasn't impressed. I don't know what was going on with them. I wish their dingling got stuck on a vine or I don't know.
I love how she was the only one who correctly thought that Fairplay was lying about his dead grandma, too.
He didn't want me, I guess, to have my fingers crossed. How dumb is that? I said, I swear on my kids. And in my head and mumbling under my breath, I was like, I swear on my kids that I'm going to screw you and Burton.
All three girls are as dumb. There's no, they share a brain. Like, I don't even think they share a whole brain. Or obviously they would figure out, hey, we can get rid of these guys. They're foolish.
12th person voted out of the tribe.
Her gameplay is subpar despite winning, which is hilarious. I mean, what was she doing at the Rupert vote? And Sandra being this loud, brash winner who managed to still be under the radar despite cursing out the tribe on the daily, Sandra will forever be one of the best characters to win the game. And while she is the queen, I am not putting her in queen tier quite yet. Sandra 1.0 is going straight into favorite.
I want that baby up there. The tart.
Okay, you have to take it down yourself, right?
Yep. Go I have to take it down myself? Okay. Damn, I didn't think I'd come out here to work.
She's gonna ruin it.
So I'm gonna lay it nice and easy so you guys can pick it back up. I'll be done in a minute and I'll be out of you guys' hair. In order for me to get the tarp, I had to destroy their whole shelter, which I started feeling bad until they started running their mouths.
Can I use one of the knives?
No.
These are our knives.
I go to grab a knife, and the black girl's like, no. You're not going to use our knife, and you better not cut our rope. So I was like, okay, regardless, I'm taking the tarp down.
Do what you got to do.
Not a problem.
Don't wreck the shelter.
No. Hey, I got to do what I got to do, right?
No, not necessarily.
Wrapped around. Look, there we go. It's not that bad. It's all good. You don't know how good you have it until you see others. Well, you guys sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs bite. And no hard feelings. And I'll see you guys tomorrow, okay? Take care.
Bye-bye.
And we are done, Pearl Islands. Absolutely amazing cast. Top tier. The best in the series so far, and it's not even close. Pearl Islands is a near masterpiece. It's so enjoyable from start to finish. And while people may shit on the Outcast twist, it made the season a lot better. The season would not be the same without Burton and Lil, and it's great they got a second chance. Rupert, Fairplay, and Sandra are the big three from this season, and Sandra will go on to play a whopping 5 total times, with Rupert playing 4 seasons. I'm going to enjoy this Pearl Islands high while I can, because it's all downhill once it gets to All-Stars. If All-Stars takes a little bit longer than usual to do, you'll know why. Because I dread having to rewatch it to look for clips. Anyway, thank you for watching. If you got to the end, you're cool. While I'm not looking forward to All-Stars, it should be a fun time just roasting all these characters that were supposed to be great returnees, but a lot of them ended up really ruining their legacy, and there's a lot of icky things on it, kind of like Thailand, but Thailand was still fun, you know? So maybe there's something I could find in All-Stars again that I like, you know, but I don't know. It's just Depression Survivor. I don't really like Depression Survivor. It's just a shitty weather season, and everyone's just depressed by the midway point, and the pre-merge is fantastic, though. The pre-merge is a lot of fun up until the incident, and if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about, but we will get there when we get there. But for now, so long. Thank you so much for listening to me talk about Survivor. Goodbye.